I'm telling you, I feel pretty good right now. Amen. I said, God, I really don't want to preach what you have laid before me today. This morning in the study, I said, God, I just don't really want to. And you may not understand that this morning, but sometimes God lays those things on our heart that really breaks us. And it hurts us, makes us hurt for our people. Amen. I hope you can just a little bit understand what I mean when I say that we hurt for our people. Amen. I hurt for our people that hurts. And I tell you what. Wow. Boy, I'm glad he is all I need this morning. I found him to be sufficient. I found him to be that supplier of my every need. Hey, man, I found it. When I'm running on empty, he's always. Hey, man, my buddy Jeremiah calls gas push water. I'm glad Jesus is my push water this morning. Hey, man, he pushes me along. Hey, man. Amen. I'm thankful that he'll push me along. When I feel like I can't go no further, I'm thankful I've got a God. Amen. Just get behind me, praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. He'll just push me along and encourage me. Amen. I'm thankful that he'll lift me up. Amen. Out that miry pit of clay. Amen. And he'll set my feet. And that on that solid foundation. Amen. I'm glad he's never let me fall too far. And he's never let me go too far, but he's always been there, amen. Whoa, hallelujah today, amen. Glory to his name. Amen. I just feel like shouting for a little while, amen. Boy, my God's good today. He's so good. He's so good. God's not going to let me get out of this. Amen. Sometimes I think if we just shout for a while, he'll let us get out of some things. Amen. Amen. Taking your Bibles and turn with us to Genesis chapter 19. Amen. I want to welcome everybody here this morning. And if you're here and you're lost and you don't know Jesus, then you've come to the right place. And this morning I want to say this before I say anything else. He loves you. Amen. He loves you. Preacher, how can I be so sure that Jesus loves me? Kayla testified. What is today? Today is March the 17th. It's almost been a year, Kayla. April the 3rd is when you called me. And you gave your heart to Jesus. My goodness alive this morning. Nathan, what's that make you feel like doing today, son? That about make you run a lap, don't it? Amen. Amen. I'm thankful I shared yesterday with the men that on January the 12th of 2012, he changed my life. And I found out how much Sammy loves me. How much he loves me. July the 14th, sister. Praise God. Amen. Do you got a day this morning? Amen. You might not be able to remember the date, but I pray to God this morning you can go back to a place and you can remember what Jesus done for you in your life. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. He's good. He's good this morning. Gary Silver says he's rich. He's rich this morning, amen. Amen, the only thing I've eaten today was a little old Hershey bar. Amen, and boy, it was rich this morning. Praise God, he's much richer. Amen, he's much richer than anything that I've ever tasted. And I have tasted, I've seen that God's good, amen. Praise the Lord. Travis, I don't know. We'll get started here in a minute. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 19, God saying, come on, son, pull it together. Genesis 19, verse number 1 is where I'm going to begin reading. Everybody knows this story. Everybody knows this story very well. And this morning I have been given a warning from God. And that is, we begin to pray and as we begin to study this morning, amen, every song we've sung, and that has related to either I need Jesus or I'm about to leave this place. And this morning, how many's glad that you're going to be a part of that resurrection day? Amen. When the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords splits the eastern sky. Amen. My name's going to be in that number. Ain't nothing holding me back, friend. Amen. Amen, but I'm going to be with Him where He is what He promised. And I believe it's real soon. And God has sent out a warning to me this morning to tell somebody that the time is drawing nigh, that the time is closing up. And this morning, if you're here and you don't know Him today, you need to come and know Him. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, if you're there, let it be known by saying amen. Amen. The Bible said, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. That's what we need to do today. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed and had upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast. And he did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom compassed and at the house round, and at both old and young, and all people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and they said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out, and sat at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs to be judged. And now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house, and at to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house, and that with blindness, both small and great, so that they were wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever that thou hast in the city, bring them out in this place. For we will destroy this place, because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And the law and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, and that which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this place. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, and then the angels hastened Lot, listen very closely, please, saying, arise, and take thy wife and thy two sons, and that which are here, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand.
and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him out without the city. Listen to verse 17 and we'll pray. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Let us pray. Father, we need you this morning. Oh God, we need you. God, you have laid before my plate this morning much more than I can bear. God, I need you. Lord, I need your spirit. And Father, I just want to do what you want me to do. God, I pray this morning, God, you give the people an ear to hear and a heart to receive. And this morning I pray that I would say nothing more or anything less than what you laid in my heart in that today. Lord, I love you. I praise you. And God, I ask you for your help now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated today. Thank you for standing. This morning we see in chapter 19 of Genesis, and that where in that this family, and now I've got to go back for just a moment, and I've got to read of how Lot has ended up to where he is. I know we know the story, but I've got to give you just a little bit, and we'll not take long on that, but we will give you a little bit. And then knowing that when Lot and that left the country with Abram, he left and at the land of their kindred, and Abram took Lot with him. And when he took Lot with him, they took their men, they took their families, they took everything, all their possession they took. We find that in Lot and Abram's life, they came to a place where it seemed as if the land was not big enough. And that for these two groups of people. And we find in chapter 12 of Genesis that chapter 13, there begins to be an argument between the people of Lot and the people of Abram. And so we find they come together and they say one to another, let us go our own way. And so when they go their own way, we find that Abram picks a place to dwell, which is the land of Canaan. But we find Lot finds himself in a very different place. And that he pitches his tent in the plains there. And that friend that is overlooking the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that as Lot began to pitch his tent, there was water in that plain. There was grass in that plain. There was plentiful for him and his men. But friend, I do want to go on record and say, just because there is a plenteous, and that in this place where you may be in your life, friend, it doesn't mean it's a right place for you to be. Friend, it doesn't mean that's where God wants you to be. But friend, God has placed you and prepared a place for you where you can dwell and where you can grow. And that Lot looked at the city of Sodom and Gomorrah in the morning. He looked at the city of Sodom and Gomorrah in the evening. And Lot would look as he'd go to bed at night at the city of Sodom and Gomorrah at the nighttime. And friend, I just want to say this morning, that if you look at something long enough that you should have never looked at to start with, friend, it will consume your eyes. It will consume your flesh. It will compel you. It will, amen, it will drag you to a place of submission. Amen. Can I tell you this morning, Oh, I begin to think about when we was in elementary school and we played that tug of war deal, and they'd get a big bunch of them down on this end and a big bunch of them down on that end. And hey man, you just looked over at your opponent, and if they had bigger boys, you said, well, there ain't no way I'm winning this war. But friend, I'm here to tell you this morning that Satan is a liar, and Satan would love nothing more for you to set your tent up in a place where you should never be. Amen. He'd love for you to look at things that your eyes should never behold. He would love, and that dear friend, to put you on the other end of that tug of war rope, amen, and drag you off into a pit. Oh boy, I'll never forget when they put Jacob Curtis, one of my best friends in school, and that they put me and him in the back. Now, I was a lot bigger boy then, and that Jake, he was about, we was in, I guess, the fourth grade, and Jake was already about, I don't know, it felt like he was 6 foot tall already, but he was a big boy, amen, always been a big boy. And friend, they put him in the back and put the rope around him, amen, and he just laid back. And when he laid back, amen, that enemy at the other end of the rope, boy, they didn't stand a chance. We had victory. But friend, I'm here to tell you that if you ain't got the faith, if you ain't got a prayer life, if you ain't got fellowship with the Lord this morning, friend, then you're just on the other end of a rope. Oh, that Satan's dragging you off into the point of destruction. Amen. He's pulling with everything he has today to destroy our homes, to destroy our families. And when this wedge got placed between Abram and Lot, hey man, Satan already immediately knew that he had in that, I guess you could say, a loop where he could get in. And so as he got into Lot's life, friend, he started off in the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. But friend, can I tell you, and that friend, that it wasn't very long until him and his wife and his sons and his daughters was all down there in the midst of Sodom. Friend, can I tell you this morning that Sodom is a perfect picture and that of where you don't need to be, and that Sodom was a place, amen, dear friend, where homosexuality was accepted. It was a place where bestiality was accepted. It was a place, friend, that was conformed. It was conformed to the world around it. Honey, it was a place of pure evil. It was a place where God and his religion was not welcome. It was a place, dear friend, it was a free-for-all is what it was. You come to Sodom and Gomorrah and we'll give you whatever you want and whatever you need. It'll be your desires. But friend, in that city is where the heart of man, woman, boy, and girl would be captivated by destruction, by the enemy. And this morning, friend, we're living in a world today that I believe is painting a pretty good picture, and that of Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe we're living in a day where the Bible said, amen, that the end days, the last days, will be the same as the days of Noah. And friend, the same, he said, the same shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Friend, that means Jesus. And I'm going to tell you this morning that I believe it could be any moment. I believe it could be any second, amen, that the roof shook off his church, amen, and the sky split open, and the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And it don't matter if you think you're saved. It doesn't matter if you are hoping that you're saved. Honey, I mean, you better be sure this morning that your name has been wrote down in the Lamb's blood and has put in the book of life. You had better be certain where you are going to spend eternity. I'm not talking about some movement that swept through one Sunday morning. And you thought, well, all my friends is going, so I'll go. I'm not talking about a conference you went to and there was just a sweet talking preacher and, hey man, all your buddies got up and decided to go and that towards an altar, and maybe one of your friends did get saved. I don't know why God's telling me to say this morning, but you went, and when everybody stood up, the preacher said, did you get saved? Well, yeah, I'm up here, so I guess I did. Honey, I want to tell you this morning, you must be drawn by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. And when He gets on the other end of that rope, a friend, you cannot run. You cannot hide. You cannot get away from the grace of an Almighty God. Amen. He will pursue you. And you'll finally have to make a choice. Amen. I was playing volleyball in the church parking lot of Altoona Baptist Church at 7 years old. And there was a few that got down over there and prayed. And there was a few adults that came by and they got me by the hand and I was crying. And I went into the sanctuary there, Brother John, and I sat down on the front pew on the right-hand side. And my pastor, Brother Donnie Houston, was sitting there. And he said, Brother Cody, he said, is the Lord dealing with your heart? And I looked at him and I didn't say a word. He said, is the Lord drawing you to a place of salvation? And I didn't say a word. Amen. He said, you know the Lord loves you. And I said, yes, I know He loves me. But friend, I was not drawn of Holy Ghost conviction. I did not know that I was a sinner, and that without a Savior I would die and go to hell. But thank God, friend, that God's mercy endures. Amen. And friend, at the age of 21 years old, on the side of the road, I fell under old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction, and He drawed me to salvation. I didn't get it then. They dunked me in a lake down there. I didn't get it then. They put my name on the church roll. I didn't get it then. Hey man, they said, oh, Cody's got a Bible with his name on it. I didn't get it then. But praise God, when the Lamb of God and the Holy Spirit sat down in my truck seat beside of me, and I called upon the name of a living God, He gloriously birthed me in the family of God. Yeah. Amen. Is everybody all right this morning? Yeah. Praise the Lord for salvation. But if we'll be honest this morning, before salvation there was sin. And if we'll be honest, after salvation there's still sin. But there's times, whether you're saved or lost here this morning, when we end up in the wrong plane. We end up in the wrong place. I got some friends that's ended up in the wrong place. Amen. I've got friends that I was in that crowd, Brother Sam, that's in jail. I've got those that's doing, he's one that's doing 32 to life. I've got one that's addicted to meth. His name's Travis. Amen. I've got one. Praise God, I got one. Had all the mess. Amen. It was that I know saved. I got one that I ran with that announced his call to preach. Amen. But boy, there's a whole bunch of them. I don't know where they are today. And they've fallen in the wrong plane. They've fallen in the wrong place. They've gotten in the wrong way. And they've been led astray by the wiles of Satan. They've been brought down into a place of sin. And this morning, I don't know if you remember this morning, church, and this is where I want to take you. I don't know if you remember what sin was like before salvation. But friend, for me, sin was great. And sin for me was essential. Amen. Sin for me was an enjoyable time. It was a good time. It was just a blast. Amen. And that we'd run with our friends and we'd do whatever we wanted to do, brother.
Brother Terry. Amen. I can remember what sin was like. I can remember what I did and what I was a part of. But thank God, dear friend, I remember what it's like when I got saved. And I felt like all of the world fell off of my shoulders. Amen. And my heart got clean. Amen. My insides got clean. Oh, praise God. And then my outside, He started working on it. Amen. I'm still ugly. Praise God. But praise God, on the inside and outside to God, I'm clean. I'm washed in the blood. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. Amen. And whom the Son has set free. Free indeed. Praise the Lord. But you know what I'm reminded every day? I'm reminded of my sin. I'm reminded of what I used to be. And I'm reminded of the sin that I have done since I have been saved. You may tell you who that is? That's Satan. This morning, if you define the word sin, it defines as this: an immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law. When you sin, you're not just sinning for you. When you sin, you're sinning against the divine purpose that God has on your life. When you willingly sin, and I say, if we'd be truthfully and completely honest, these people probably sitting in this congregation today that willfully sins, and there is no remorse. But friend, I'm here to tell you that there is a consequence for sin. Terry, I didn't want to preach this, son, but I'm here to tell you that if you continue in your wrongful doing and your transgression against the law of God, but thanks be unto God that Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law. He said, but I came to fulfill the law. He said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. Who is that? That's me and you. Sin can be abolished if you'll just give your life to Jesus. Will you still sin? Yes, but it will not have dominion over you. Amen. You have been given a way of escape. You have been given a pathway to protection that when Satan does come, amen, there is a Savior. Amen. There is a Savior that will step in through the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And say, hold on a minute, boy, you can't do that. Praise God for the Holy Ghost of God. And He'll step in on your behalf and He'll say, whoa, 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 this ain't good. So now I want to know why we still do it. It's because it's our nature. It's our curse. But I'm going to go ahead, and I'm way ahead of myself anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and just keep on being ahead of myself. And I'm going to tell you this morning that one of these days, there will be a judgment. Amen. One of these days, there will be a time where every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess, amen, that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And if you don't do it now, you will do it there. But that doesn't make you saved. Honey, you better do it now. You better do it today. You need to call on the Lord. Amen. And ask Him to come into your heart and life and save you from your sins. The Bible teaches me this. I'm going to read Romans chapter 6, and we'll get back to Lot in just a moment. I looked over in Romans chapter 6, and I'm telling you, these scriptures resonated so heavenly, or so heavily. And that this morning, as I begin to read in Romans chapter 6, and I'm gonna read a good bunch of scripture, and then we'll be done in just a moment. But the Bible said, and that, listen to this, what in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, amen, that grace may abound? And that what he was saying, and that you just continue sinning knowing that God's grace will cover you. Amen. That's not God's will for your life. His will is that you live for him. Amen. He doesn't shed his blood and his grace that we can come to an altar one morning and say, Lord, save me. And then the next day still be an alcoholic and still be a drug addict and still look at pornography and still be caught up in the lust of the flesh of life. Amen. He said, God forbid. God forbid that we continue in sin. But look what he said. He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin, if you're in Jesus, I'm speaking to the church, if you're in Christ Jesus this morning, he said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, friend, we're going to mess up. We're going to fall short. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. We've all sinned. We're all going to mess up. You don't do it intentionally. God forbid, he said. God forbid. He said, look at this, what he says. He says, know ye not that so many of us and that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. You have been joined together, church, and that in the baptism of Jesus, amen, not just his water baptism, but in his grave baptism, where he shed his blood and resurrected from the dead. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. John said it this morning, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. I'm glad when he saved me, he rearranged me, and he changed me from the creature that I was. Amen. I mean, changed my life. Now listen to this. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. We sung about it. We're going to rise right up one of these days. If you have died in Christ Jesus to the self, one of these days you're going to be resurrected as Jesus was. Amen. To the Savior himself. There you shall forever be with him. Amen. Ain't you glad this morning? He said we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Somebody help me right there. It's crucified with him. He put your sin on a cross. He put his sin on his shoulders. He put his sin. He put our sin and that on the nails and on the thorns and on the splinters of the cross. He hung our sins upon himself. Amen. I said this morning, I'm going to say it again. Amen. That he who was rich became poor, that we who are poor may become rich. Amen. The one who gave his life a ransom for many. Praise the Lord that Jesus has changed our lives. Look at this. Knowing this, that the old man be crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen. Has anybody ever served? Don't raise your hand. Has anybody ever been a servant to sin? Amen, I've been there, praise God. I know how miserable and how awful of a life it is to live, amen, their satisfaction for a season. But then, Brother Sam, in the same time, there is such a longing for something more that just leaves you miserable and leaves you longing for something else to fill the void in your heart. Honey, I'm going to tell you, you need to get rid of your sin. in. Amen. And let God fill your well. You need to get the dirt out of your well. And you need to get God in your well. You need to get God in your well this morning. And I'll guarantee if you let God in it, it'll fill it up. Amen. Amen. And it'll not be dirt. It'll be living water. Praise the name of the Lord. And where God is, friend, there's not much room for sin. There's not room for junk. Amen. But I'll tell you, we fall short so many times. We fall back into old ways. And you know what's sad is that when we do sin, we forget that we have an advocate in Little John chapter 2. We forget that we have a propitiation. We forget that we do have a go-between, a mediator. We do have an intercessor. We forget so quickly that there is one that's standing there at the right-hand side of God. And he's saying, Lord, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And that my blood's on their life. And God, I pray unto God, you'd be merciful to them. Amen. Oh, thank God that Jesus is like that. But listen, let's read just a few more verses. The Bible said, now... Oh, hold on, let me back up. 4 and verse 7, for he that is dead is freed. Freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with who? With him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. He's not going back to the cross. He's not going back to the tomb. He don't have to take the cross on him again and our sins on him again in that manner, because when he died once, it was sufficient for every soul that would ever be born. He done it for all mankind. White, black, Asian, Native American, amen. I'm telling you, all across this world, he died for all man. Amen. Every boy and girl that comes to the age of accountability. Amen. And my little girl is getting real close. And honey, I've been a praying, Lord Jesus, capture her heart. Oh, that when her time comes, she wouldn't be ashamed. Oh, but she'd stepped out of that pew. Honey, you better look out, Greasy Creek. Oh, when that day comes. Oh, friend, I'm telling you this morning, his salvation's rich. His salvation, it will satisfy your every longing. His salvation, and that's better than gold or silver. His salvation, he is the greatest thing I've ever known. Amen. 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 Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. He's alive forever. Somebody say amen. Verse 23, let's jump all the way down. Let me back up right here. Amen. Amen. Haley, we brought a whole stack of handkerchiefs and I done lost the one you gave me. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For wages of sin is death. Thank you, brother. For the wages of sin, do you hear me? Sin will kill you. It'll make you old when you're not old. Amen. I'm telling you, I feel like I'm about 60 years old this morning. Amen. That's double my age. Amen. And so I want to say this morning, man, I'm telling you, I've had back surgery. I believe that's just part of my payment. Amen. On this earth for the sin I've done in my life. But friend, I want to tell you right now, praise be to God, when the spirits are flowing, I feel like I'm 12 years old again. And friend, thank God that he can take something old and wore out because of sin, and he can make it brand new through Christ. Amen. He can make it brand new. Brand new. Brother Jeff, you glad you still saved? Praise the Lord. You ain't gonna lose it. Nobody gonna steal it. Satan can't have it. Amen. He's a loser. Amen. Praise God. He ain't going to steal what God gave. He can't do it. He ain't got the power to do it. Jesus. Amen. Does it right. Praise God. I got to hurry right here this morning. Sin will kill you, church. And I'll sit here this morning and I wonder why in the world people think they can get away with it. Amen. I was one of them people thought I'd get away with it. Thought nobody ever find out. Thought nobody'd ever know what my life was like. I praise God for the forgiveness of an almighty God that comes and washes. Has anybody ever just laid down in the creek? You wasn't just swimming. You just laid down in the creek and you just let the water run over you. Hey man, one of my good friends that I went to school with, Brother Jacob Grubb, when I went wild there around age 19, 20, lost my mind pretty much. I'll just say it like that. Sin had such a dominion over me. I went back in Ball River, spent some time there, and by myself, and Jake had met me, and he said, well, let's go back. He said, we'll go together. We'll take a tent, and we'll go together. This is the same story I believe I've told you before, where the awfulest storm that I've ever experienced happened while we was in that little four-person tent. And we was laying there and we couldn't sleep. And I mean, the wind had come by. And I mean, it felt like we was just going to take lift off. And the rain was blowing in sideways. And it was lightning and thundering. And we was at Hawley Flats Campground in Ball River. And I said, Jake, we got to get out of here. We got to make a run for it. We got to get in the truck, leave everything. We've got to go. He said, I believe we'll be all right. I said, no, you don't understand. We got to go. This storm is bad. This is the worst storm I've ever experienced. And he said, I believe we'll be all right. And he's laying on his little sleeping bag over there with his hands behind his head. And he said, I believe we'll be all right. All of a sudden, water, Esther, began to flood through the corner of that tent. And I said, we're gonna get washed away in here. Hey, we've got to get up. We've got to go. And he said, I believe it'll be okay. And he said, just scoot a little further that way. I said, no, I'm gone. Amen. I got up out of that tent and I made a run for it in my PJ pants across that campground. And I jumped in that Ford Ranger truck. Amen. And I just sat there and I clung to the steering wheel. Jake, he come over here and he opened up the door and sat down and he said, Cody, what's really wrong? See, I've told the story. I ain't told all of the story. He said, what's really wrong? I said, well, I've got to get out of here. I've got to go home. He said, okay, we'll come back tomorrow and get the tent. This was on a Wednesday. And as we come back across Coca Creek Mountain, we stopped at Sandy Lane Church, where one of my dearest friends today, Johnny Stewart, is the pastor. And I said, what are we doing here? He said, we're going to go to church. I said, what? He said, yeah, we're going to church. He said, if we can't find no refuge up there, we'll find refuge right here. I said, I am not going in that church house. Yeah, you are. Get out. Let's go. I said, no, I'll be right here. When you get done doing whatever you're doing, I'll be right here. And he would not stop until I got out. Amen. I had holes cut in the knees of my pants. I had dirt all over me. I smelled like smoke where we'd been camping. Amen. I smoked cigarettes back then. I mean, just reeked of cigarettes. And I said, I am not going in that house. They'll shun me, sure as the world. And I walked through the front door, and Johnny Stewart laid his arms around my neck. And he said, Brother Cody, this is the greatest day. He said, I'm so glad that you're here with us. And boy, I felt the Holy Ghost wind by like a mighty rushing wind. And Johnny got up. You know what Johnny preached on that Wednesday night? Salvation. And a year from that time, I would give my life to Christ. This morning, I want to tell you three things, and I'm done. I done preached a long time. Three things, and I'm done. I'm going to say sin. Firstly, it'll kill you. If you're sitting here this morning and you've got a seed of sin somewhere in your life, it'll eat you alive. Preacher, what I need to do about it? You need to give it to Christ. You need to give it to Jesus. Well, what's going to happen then, preacher? You'll probably start smiling for once. Amen. Amen. You'll hug your brother and sister's neck and you'll forget about the faults that everybody's got around you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to preach on that for a little while. Amen. Because I'm telling you, when you get under the fount where the glory comes out, amen, it changes your thought patterns. It changes all the demeanor about you. I used to be the world's worst to say, there goes one of them Christians. Holy roller. Here I am. They won't even look at me or give me time of day. I was world's worst for that, friend. Now I don't want to be nowhere else but where God's people is. I want to be with God's people. I want to be around God's people. I want the fellowship, amen. Praise the Lord. Firstly, tonight, sin will do three things to you if you don't get it fixed today. Firstly, if it hasn't slipped in, it will slip in. And it almost slips in, sometimes unaware. What do you mean, preacher? You can go to Genesis chapter 3 and understand that when there was a sinless world, there wasn't no sin in the world. Until Genesis chapter 3, and sin slithered in like a snake, in the form of a snake. And he said, oh, you can eat of that fruit. You'll not surely die. But what did I already tell you? Sin will kill you. We don't preach it no more. We don't talk about it. Somebody might get their feelings hurt. Bless your heart, amen. Can I tell you this morning, it'll slip in, and if you are not careful, it'll root out like kudzu. And it will engulf your life to the point of no return. But I am glad to say this. You can't go too far where Jesus can't reach you. Amen. He reached way down to the bottom, Brother Bob, for somebody like me. The Bible said his hand's not too short, nor is his ear too heavy. But sin will slip in. Anybody ever heard the expression that if you give the devil an inch, he'll go a mile? You ever heard the expression, if you crack the door, he'll come on in? Amen. And I'll guarantee you that Satan would love nothing more than to have a spot here at Greasy Creek. You say he can't be here with the preaching and the singing goes on. Amen, friend. He'll come in, sit down, make up home, and he will try to destroy us. Amen. But in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, somebody needs to help me this morning. In the name of Jesus, he can't have our church. He can't have our families. He can't have us. Amen. He ain't welcome here. And if he comes in, he's going to leave hurting. Amen. Because I believe there's some people in here get behind me and help me whoop him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we cowered down so much. It'll slip in. Secondly, it'll set up a stronghold. You can go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, read the story of Saul, the first anointed man of God over Israel, king. And we preached about that a few weeks ago. I'm not going to get caught up in all that. You can turn there. I encourage you to write these down and read these stories of how sin slept in and how it will set up a stronghold in your life. When it sets up a stronghold, I'm going to tell you, it makes it real hard to get back to where you was. What do you mean? Hey, man, I'm telling you, the most fortified city in the Bible was Jericho. And people feared that city. I'm telling you, nobody dared go against Jericho. But then here come the Israelites. And they had a man of God in front of them that said, them walls don't scare me. This morning I wonder, the walls that Satan may place in front of you, do they scare you? Do they make you fearful that you'll never be able to get any further in your walk with God because of the walls Satan's put up? Friend, I'm going to tell you what we ought to have the attitude of is that the same God that saved us is the same God that can tear down every single wall. He can tear down every single distraction. He can take and he can remove every division. Amen.
That's right.
Am I preaching the Bible? 1 Samuel chapter 15 is the beginning of the fall of Saul. And you can understand of how strong, what a stronghold that was in his life that it ended up killing him. He took and ran a sword through his own body that the Philistines wouldn't tear him to pieces. Thirdly, Luke chapter 16, it'll separate. We know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The Bible said both those men died. Lazarus was a beggar, didn't have a penny to his name. And he just ate the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs came and licked his sores where he was sick in body. Rich man just sat there and ate his turkey legs and chewed on his cornbread or whatever it is he was eating, and he had everything good. He had everything he could want. He wore purple linen. That meant he was royalty. Then all of a sudden, Sean had died. Both of them died. And the Bible said that Lazarus was carried away into Abraham's bosom. This morning, if you don't know what that is a safe place. That's a place of protection, amen. That's a place where he's going to be held, amen, and there'd never be anything ever bother him again, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But the rich man died, and he lifted his eyes in hell. And he cried out unto Father Abraham. He said, send Lazarus, please send Lazarus, that he dip the tip of his finger into water and rub it on my tongue, that my thirst would be quenched. He said, for he lifted his eyes in torment. Zane, would you come and get a verse of just as I am this morning? God said, it's time for invitation. I got a whole lot more I could preach, and I ain't going to this morning because God said not to. This morning, sin will separate you. I believe it was the Lord Jesus that said there was a great gulf that's fixed. Friend, I'm going to tell you this morning that if you die lost here today, you ain't promised tomorrow. The Bible said that this life is as a vapor. It's here today, gone tomorrow. The Bible says in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, that's fast. I don't know how many of you in here can wink. I barely can, but I can get it done, amen. In the moment of a twinkling of an eye, one day you're going to draw your very last breath. And when you draw your last breath, that is when your eternity is sealed. That will be the last time you have a chance. Right before you draw that last breath is the last opportunity you'll be given to know Jesus. There's this fairy tale world that's going on in this world today where they say, well, people says they've been to hell and they've seen what hell looks like and they've come back. God reached down and pulled them back out. He said there's a gulf fixed. There's a gulf fixed. What does that mean? That means it's separated. Once you go to hell, you will not come back from there. That is a lie that hatched from hell, and that's what Satan wants people to believe. That, oh, well, you'll get another chance if you go there. No, you won't, friend. I plead and I beg with you today, if you die lost and don't know Jesus and go to hell, then you will never get another chance to know my Jesus. The Jesus that this church is founded on. Not just this church, but the body of Christ. The church of the living God. Friend, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in the army of God this morning. Amen. The family of God. It'll separate. And the Bible said, I ain't got time to turn there, but I'm going to quote it to you. The Bible said that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. We'll stand in a judgment. And every single one of us that's sitting in here this morning is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the books will be opened. What does that mean this morning, preacher? The book will be opened. That's the book of life. And he said in Revelation, that I believe it's chapter 21 that, or 20, whoever's name's not found wrote in the Lamb's book of life will be cast off into the lake of fire. If your name, can I ask you this morning, would your name be found there today if you died? If you was on your way home this evening, leaving this service, and your car flipped. If you're on your way home and you got home and you had a massive heart attack, I pray to God none of those things happen. But what if it did? Where would you stand before God? Where would you stand? You better figure it out, friend. You better quit playing ring around the rosy and tiptoe through the tulip. Amen. Time's running out. Amen. I'm not just preaching this to scare you. I'm not just preaching this that somebody would come to the altar. I'm preaching this because I'm concerned about your soul. And God said, send a warning, son. Let them know, Bob. They still a window of time. You know what the Bible said? Boy, I like this. There's a space of grace. You know what grace is? The unmerited favor of God on your life. You know what that means? He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it. But he said, I want to do it. I want to save them from hell. I want to wash them in my blood. Amen. He wants to. Amen. And so this morning, with that being said, you're sitting here this morning and you are fighting with everything you have. Man, I wish that preacher'd hush. Man, I'd like to go get something to eat right now and just forget about all this Bible and the Holy Spirit that I felt this morning. Ignore the call of God. You can do that. You have the free choice. This is where it gets hard right here. You have the free choice this morning. You can do whatever you want to do. God ain't going to force you to get saved. He's a gentleman. But if you don't let Him save you, you're in for an eternity of trouble. The Bible said hell's a place of outer darkness. It's a place where the canker worm eats and never dies. It's a place where the flesh will be burnt but never consumed. It's a place, dear friend, where it'll be torment, pain, agony for all of eternity. Now let me ask you this. Would you rather have that and ignore the call of Jesus, or would you rather go to heaven with the blood of Jesus on your heart and experience the most peaceful place to spend eternity, where there'll be no war, there'll be no sickness, there'll be no strife. Amen. There'll be no more dying. There'll be no more tears. It'll be complete peace. Amen. In a place called heaven. Church, are you glad you're going to heaven this morning? Hallelujah. Zane, you glad you're going, son? Amen. Kobe, how about you, brother?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen. I'm glad this morning that I ain't never going to smell the smoke of hell. I'm never going to endure the fire of hell. And it's all because of Jesus.
Yes.
Stand to your feet very quietly, very reverently across this house this morning. Men of God, that's here. I meet my preachers that's here. I'm going to ask you to make your way to the sides of the altars. Travis, John, Chris, Sam. Sides of the altar. I want you to bow down and start praying right now. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. You listen to my voice, please. I beg you this morning, do not leave this place and risk spending an eternity in a place called the lake of fire, hell. Boy, wouldn't it be good to leave here this morning with joy in your heart, with peace on your mind, knowing your sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus. What I got to do this morning, preacher, all you got to do is come to Him, come to this altar, bow your head and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and life and save me. And you know what He'll do today? He'll save you. All you got to do today is say, I believe in my heart, Jesus, that you raised from the dead. Confess with your mouth that you believe He is who He said He is. And you shall leave this place saved today. It's free. It don't cost you a thing to come and get it. Hey, it's wonderful, friend. I've never been as happy as I am today, and I've even been through depression. I'm as happy as I can possibly be, amen, because I've been saved. This morning, please don't wait any longer. Come to Jesus. Grab your friend or your family member by the hand and say, I've got to go now. Don't wait any longer. He's bidding you to come. Won't you come to Jesus? Father God, bless this invitation. Lord, I pray you'd save that that's lost. God, I know, Father, there's someone here, God, that does not know you. You would not have me preach this if there was not someone here that does not know you. God, you know what you're doing. God, I'm just trying to be obedient. God, I can't save them. If I could, I would. Only you can, Lord. And I ask you right now to do that. Let them let go and claim Jesus as their Savior. In Jesus' name we ask all these things, and all God's people said, Zane sang. Zane's going to sing. These men of God's down here praying. Won't you come and at this morning call upon Jesus as your Savior?